The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they all sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the signs that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may want to take this gospel reading home with you today and unpack a little bit of it throughout the week, because there's lots packed into this short reading. But it's a marvelous text. The power of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit, is all over this text. We come hungry and thirsty for your word, O Lord. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. So we have 5,000 men, plus women and children, and they're following Jesus around because they've seen him heal the sick, cast out demons, raise a dead little girl back to life. So these people are following Jesus in throngs. Thousands of them. Now, I've always wondered and tried to get a picture of this story in my mind. These thousands of people surrounding Jesus. And then I went to the National Youth Gathering, where I went with my son David and our high school kids, Jordan, Sarah, Abby, Maggie, Chad, Isaac, and also Laura Say. And 30,000 other participants. And I'm thinking, as I'm looking at Ford Field, well, 5,000 is not such a big deal. But it was. And while I was at Ford Field, Sarah's here, David's here. Some of you have been to National Youth Gatherings. They brought out one of the headliner bands, Skillet. Now, I'm not much for this kind of raw rock music, but all in good fun. Skillet is very popular. So after our keynote speaker spoke on the last evening, Marion Wright Edelman, if you know the name, oh, for heaven's sakes, right? She finishes up, and all of a sudden, this mass of young people swarm the main stage. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I think that's how the people were following Jesus. Like, oh, Jesus is headlining tonight. Let's get close to the stage. And Jesus does not disappoint. Jesus does not disappoint. So first he plays with his disciples a little bit. He's like, so guys, you want to go buy food for these people? Now, this is a little play on their Old Testament history. And Rhonda read it just a little while ago. It happened with the prophet Elisha, where there's 100 people. And Elisha tells his disciples, get them something to eat. 100 people. This is kind of like Lois and funerals, right? We always worry, is there going to be enough food? Is there always enough food? There's always enough food. But this was a big deal in the Old Testament. How are we going to find enough food for these 100 people? And the prophet says, we've got 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain. Divide it up. And the people had plenty. And so now we fast forward to Jesus. And these thousands of people. And the disciples. Okay, remember, the grown-ups are the ones who almost never get it. Remember that, because our logic always limits us. But there's a little child with his bread and his fish. And he offers it to the disciples, offers it to Jesus. A little child with his bread and his fish. How far can that go? I'm sure the disciples were thinking, okay, there's 12 of us. If we eat, there might be a little bread left over if we kind of, you know, eat sparingly. But Jesus took this offering. He took it He gave thanks. He broke it. He distributed it. Does that scenario of action sound familiar? He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them. It's not accidental that this sounds an awful lot like our communion liturgy. He gave it to them, and there was enough. One little boy's offering. Blessed by Jesus, given to Jesus. Through Jesus became enough. Now remember that when we think we are not enough, or we don't have enough, or our numbers aren't enough. Remember that whatever gets offered to God can become enough through Jesus. Through Jesus. I'm going to go back to Detroit again. So what happened last week when those 30,000 kids and their weary chaperones went to Detroit? Well, for starters, do y'all remember that we were collecting in-kind donations of diapers and things like that? Well, in the final count, these young people and their chaperones and their congregations brought 1 million diapers to Detroit. These kids and their chaperones and their congregations raised more than $400,000 for the ELCA World Hunger's Walk for Water. This is going to be supporting water projects all over the world so that people can have clean water. Now, the goal is $500,000, and then it will be matched to make a $1 million gift. And friends in Christ, clean water is not an expensive thing to provide. It's really not. So what began as a little spark of an idea from someone is going to be clean water all over the world. It's like a little child with a little bit of bread and fish, and it gets offered to Jesus. What else happened in Detroit? Our kids were working on a neighborhood project. It was called their 100 Block Project, where Detroit's trying to revamp. I'm sorry, I didn't see you there, Chad. You were blocked. There's three of them here. 100 block area where vacant houses get their yards cleaned up, abandoned lots get cleared, buildings with broken out windows get boarded up. Not just boarded up, but boarded up with beautiful murals. Boards painted with symbols of Christian hope. $3,200 vacant lots were cleared of debris. $1,400 backpacks were distributed, 36 urban gardens installed, 99 picnic tables built, a couple habitat houses were framed indoors. And that's just some of what went on. And in terms of being the little boy who offered his bread and his fish, a couple of our youth were able to donate blood. A couple of our youth, Maggie, donated hair to an organization that provides wigs for kids who are sick, whose hair have fallen out. This is the work of Jesus. When we offer what we have so that Jesus can take it and give thanks and distribute it, that our neighbors might share and be satisfied. Because I think the word satisfied is the key to this whole text from John 6. 5,000 people and women and children. They had all that they needed, as much as they needed to be satisfied. To be satisfied. But we know, and Cindy pointed it out, and I might not have to have had preached because Cindy did a great job with the young people. It's a simple story. Jesus himself said, man does not live by bread alone. And we'll see this in the next few weeks. People follow Jesus all over the place because he gave them food. And verse 15 in our gospel today says, Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. Why? Not because he healed or cast out demons or even raised the dead. They wanted to make him king because he could provide a magical meal. But we know that a magical meal is not what satisfies. Scripture talks about being satisfied in all sorts of different places. You know what it says? It says, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. It says, the poor shall be satisfied. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your temple, O Lord. It says, the lover of money will not be satisfied. It says, my God will satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Christ. It says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad. I will satisfy the weary and all who are faint I will replenish. My God will fully satisfy every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What Jesus did in feeding the hungry crowd was give them a little taste of what it is to be satisfied. But when they kept looking for bread, it didn't fill them. Many fell away from Jesus after that. They're like, if you're not going to do that meal thing again, I don't have any reason to follow you. But the ones who stuck with him, the ones who continued to hear his message and let him fill them with his love, his word, his peace, his passion, his grace, those were the ones who were satisfied forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we come to the communion table, we are reminded of Jesus, who on the cross made satisfaction for us all. And in the night in which he was betrayed, those are the few words that sometimes we look over when we celebrate communion. In the night in which he was betrayed, Thomas and Peter and Judas all received communion. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to all of them. To be filled. Whatever your emptiness, whatever your hunger, whatever hole there is in your life, invite Jesus to come and fill it. And then invite Jesus to use you, to use us, to fill the needs of our neighbors, not just with bread, but with the bread of life that sustains forever. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.